Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour now upon us once again. It's that time, and welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning broadcast, coming to you live tonight from our flagship studio, AM 1380, WLRM Radio, here in Memphis, Tennessee, simulcasting on the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, whilst also streaming live over the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where our broadcast archives are available. I want to thank again Winston Smith and Keith Alexander for all they brought to the table tonight. I think that last hour with Winston Smith is the finest hour of radio that exists that pertains to the discussion of what has happened in Arizona. If you missed it, be sure to consult our broadcast archives. Now, I said a couple of times earlier in the show tonight, we're going to have a little fun this hour. We're going to do things a little bit different, and indeed we are. It's been well documented the amount of media attention that this show has received over the course of the past half decade, but this summer has just been unprecedented. The political cesspool has stayed in the news, and I mean national news, ever since the beginning of June, and for a variety of reasons, which you would expect because we have grown into a very formidable operation, and we are the voice of European Americans here in this country, paleo-conservative European Americans. Some of the press we've received has not been flattering, as you might expect, but a lot of it has been, particularly the press and reviews surrounding the release of my new book, Racism Schmacism. And last week, I had the enjoyable opportunity to have the tables turned. Rather than asking the questions, I was answering them during a robust interview with Richard Spencer, the founding editor of Alternative Right, the website alternativeright.com. He has a podcast there, Alternative Right Radio. And the result of this interview was a very high-energy conversation that we're about to play for you. During our talk, we discussed a number of contemporary political issues, as well as the success of my new book. Other leaders of the American right who have appeared as guests of Richard's podcast on Alternative Right is include political cesspool alumni Pat Buchanan, Paul Gottfried, Tom Sunich, Kevin McDonald, Craig Boddicker, Peter Brimelow, and David Yeagley. Quality company, to be sure. And before we go to the audio, I'd like to thank Richard Spencer for once again extending to me that invitation, and encourage all fans of the political cesspool to support his good work over at Alternative Right. Now, I was actually driving to Jackson, Mississippi last week for a speaking engagement when I conducted this interview. I know it's been getting some very positive comments from the people who have listened to it, but I have not yet listened to it myself, so I'm going to listen to it now. Everyone else tuned into the political cesspool tonight, we do a little special feature, my interview with Richard Spencer, right now, courtesy of Alternative Right.
Today it's so good to have with me James Edwards. James is the host of the Political Cesspool radio program, which you can catch every Saturday night. And he is also the author of a new book, Racism Smacism, How Liberals Use the R Word to Push the Obama Agenda. So thanks for being on the program, James.
Richard, it's definitely my honor and privilege to be on your podcast today. I am a very big fan of your work on Alternative Right, and it's good to share quality company.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, James has been nice enough to have me on the cesspool a couple of times, and I've always enjoyed the conversations we've had on there, so I wanted to have him on my show as well. Well, James, I've noticed that over the past week, you and your radio program have become a kind of hate object for the media, politicians, and many others. So why don't you just, before we talk, I'd love to talk about your book and some other bigger topics, but let's just start out with this one. Just tell us what is going on, why you are appearing in, you know, the Huffington Post and all these other there's places as, you know, the embodiment of evil. So so give us all of the details of what's happened.
Well, I'll tell you, back in 2006, the Southern Poverty Law Center proclaimed us to be the radio nexus of the American hate movement or something to that effect. And that was 4 years ago. And since then, we have been burning white hot, no pun intended. And this summer, though, has been particularly scorching with regard to the media attention that has been lavished upon us for a number of reasons. I mean, I think that we attract these sort of attacks because we're unequivocally pro-white. Mm-hmm. We stand up for our convictions without retreat, surrender, or apology, and that drives our detractors absolutely mad. And rather than respond to their attacks the way so many weak white men do, by apologizing or acquiescing or falling on our sword in shame, we basically welcome the attacks and mock them for taking the time to disparage us as such. But this summer, though, Richard, you asked, gosh, it started out, as you mentioned, I released my book, which has been very favorably reviewed by you and many other prominent movement leaders in June. And since then, it's just been one hit after another. We had an interview in early June on our radio program in which we introduced Tim Adams to the world. Uh-huh. And what makes Tim Adams significant is the fact that he was a senior elections clerk in Honolulu, Hawaii during the 2008 presidential elections, and after all this time, he still had new information regarding the Obama birth certificate collapse, and as a result of his coming on our show, he got picked up by a number of so-called mainstream movement, mainstream media entities such as WorldNet Daily and Fox News, mm-hmm. and we were roundly criticized for that, or he was roundly criticized for having appeared on our show. I don't know if you know this or not, but Mel Gibson has been making the news this summer, yes. And we have a close relationship with his father, Hutton Gibson, who has spoken his mind about his opinion of World War II, and so we've been getting some press this summer for our relationship with the Gibson family. Then Keith Olbermann declared us to be the worst person in the world in one of his segments on his MSNBC program in June. And then, let's see, this week we had Sheriff Paul Bepew of Pinal County, Arizona, one of the leading forces down there in border control. Of course, you know, Arizona on the cutting edge of securing America's borders, reclaiming America's destiny. Paul Bepew has done a great job of doing that. Well, he came on our show, and some left-wing websites picked it up, and now it's all over CNN. John McCain and J.D. Hayworth are debating back and forth as to their relationship with this neo-Nazi show that is so famous and that has been so roundly denounced by the ADL. And I tell you, we're just I'll let the Southern in me come out a little bit. We're kind of reveling in all this like a pig in slop. It doesn't bother us at all that we're attacked. We're proud that all of these people know our names, and we see that these baseless smears on our character are basically just an endorsement of the quality of our work.
Absolutely. If you weren't doing something that was touching a nerve and kind of, you know, lighting a fire, then they would not be talking about you. It is kind of interesting that you have, you know, because I was reading this morning, so J.D. Hayworth has basically said he's denounced the cesspool, and we thought he was, you know, Mr. Right Winger, or we'd at least think that these people believe in, you know, free speech and open debate and all that kind of stuff, but those were apparently misconceptions.
Yeah, Hayworth, you know, if you go to his website, it says the consistent conservative. Well, no conservatives that I associate with, Richard, refer to other conservatives who have worked hard, paid their dues, sacrificed themselves on behalf of a cause far greater. Mm-hmm. Those people don't call other folks who are working in that capacity neo-Nazis. I mean, that's the kind of Marxist construct that a Trotskyite would employ. Yeah. And so for J.D. Hayworth to dismiss us as such, now, granted, I mean, he probably has never heard of our radio program, and he's only parroting what he hears from the ADL, but if you're using the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center as your reference, and that, I think, speaks to the heart of your conservatism, but it's a very big story. In fact, if I may be so bold as to suggest, I think that the political cesspool, or news of the political cesspool, is dominating Arizona politics this week because, again, as I said, we had this very renowned sheriff on our program, mm-hmm. who just happened to appear in all of John McCain's campaign ads,
right,
television ads this year, and as a result, again, the media picked up on this. It's been in the Arizona Republic, the Arizona Daily Star, which are the, you know, big publications of Phoenix and Tucson, respectively. It's been on CNN this morning. I saw Hayworth on there denouncing it. So it's big news out there, and it's all for now.
All right, we're going to take a break right there, ladies and gentlemen. If we can just push pause on the magic interview playback machine, take a break. It gets better. This is the interview that Richard Spencer conducted with me. Rather than me being the interviewer, I was the interviewee. I was answering the questions, and I answered some more on Richard Spencer's podcast, which we're playing for you in its entirety during this third hour of our show right after this.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, it's been such a raucous summer, such a busy summer, that we're sort of taking a break here, in a manner of speaking, during this third hour, and doing something a little fun. Catching our breath, listening to the audio of an interview in which I was the guest on Richard Spencer's podcast for Alternative Right Radio, alternativeright.com. And this is actually my first time to hear it. He posted it to his website a few days ago, Alternative Right, one of the best new right-of-center websites on the internet. And I encourage you to check it out, alternativeright.com. Richard posted this interview up a couple of days ago. It's been getting great feedback, and now we're all listening to it together for the first time, and we're going to continue now where we left off before that last break.
Unwarranted, and if these people had any honor whatsoever, from the sheriff to McCain to Hayworth, they would say, listen, we've looked at that show's website. They seek to put America first just like we do. And you know what? We stand with them. They're doing a good job. But that's not what they said. And far too often, this is the problem with European American men now, Richard.
Yeah.
They fold up like a lawn chair the second some limp-wristed hack journalist applies a little pressure. That's something we've got to do better than that. I mean, I'm certainly glad our ancestors had a little more gall when they were protecting us from the Muslim invaders. Think of if we had people like J.D. Hayworth at the gates of Vienna. I dare to think of what would happen to our people over the course of centuries.
No, it's a very good point. I've also noticed, and we can actually get into this when we talk about your book, that these conservatives seem to take a kind of more left-wing, anti-racist stance than a lot of the liberals. It's kind of amazing. Take for instance you. I mean, you're not advocating, you know, killing anyone or like putting people into camps or something like this. I mean, you're basically saying, I support the West. I support my heritage. I support my people and my people's heritage. I support, you know, reclaiming America's destiny, all this kind of stuff. You're not advocating any, you know, disgusting or terrible thing like that. And yet J.D. Hayworth feels it's, you know, it's his need to kind of prove how, you know, non-racist he is. I mean, it's like these conservatives take to all this poison, you know, more than the liberals. I find it amazing.
Other than the ABL and the SPLC, over the course of our broadcasting careers, which now spans better than a half decade, we have been attacked far many more times from the Republican establishment than the liberal establishment, if you can believe that. And you're right. It's their minds have been poisoned. I don't know why they feel compelled to try to curry favor with people who have never supported them to begin with. The people that McCain and Hayworth are pandering to this week in light of the sheriff's interview on our radio program have never supported them, will never support them.
No.
It's a fool's errand to try. And in doing so, I think it just shows weakness on their part, and will attract more attacks, just like blood in the water will attract the sharks. If they would have stood firm, it would have been a non-story. But because they've waffled and shown weakness, well, they're just going to be cannibalized. And as far as I go, I've always considered myself to be a very mainstream political commentator.
Mm-hmm.
I've appeared on CNN. We've interviewed everyone from Pat Buchanan to Ted Nugent. Yes, we take some very direct stands on issues that other people seem to be taboo, as I said before, but I've been awarded a certificate of recognition from the Memphis City Council for outstanding contributions to the community as a result of my work on this show. I've never seen myself other than a very mainstream radio host, and as a result, you know, I'm on numerous stations, and I'm not talking about just internet stations, but AM, FM radio stations.
Yeah.
So for them to disparage me like that, it can happen to anyone, and it will happen to anyone unless we stop it. We've got to demand better from the people who claim to be representing us.
Yeah, and I think also just to finish up on this point, I think there are a lot of, you know, let's say kind of, you know, normal Americans, I certainly don't mean that as an insult, average Americans who are kind of instinctively conservative. And I think they, you know, they don't look too much into what Glenn Beck is actually saying or what J.D. Hayworth is actually saying. And they just kind of assume that these guys are on the right. They kind of, they're like me. They support me and my family and my friends and my people and my civilization heritage. And I think at some point they're going to realize that, no, they don't. You know, Glenn Beck is, you know, he'll say some things that I like. Glenn Beck and all these people are just as kind of antithetical to having a West that's conscious of itself, that's proud of itself, that's dynamic, that's productive, moving forward, as, you know, Abe Foxman is. And they're gonna, you know, start to understand that people like James Edwards are actually sticking up for them, and they Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Richard. I was just going to say, obviously people like you and I are standing up for them far better than folks like Glenn Beck. And you mentioned his name, and I just can't let it pass because he wrote such an excellent article about his commentary on the black founding fathers of America. I mean, these clowns have the nerve to go on TV and say stuff like that with a straight face. Now, granted, people like Hannity and Beck do sprinkle a little bit more truth into their analysis than you're going to find from, you know, the left-wing talking heads. But in doing so, they attract our people and basically lead them around the rolling rat wheel. They spin their wheels making a lot of noise, and they never get anywhere. And that's where folks, I think, Richard, like you and I come in, because every group, and this has been said a million times, every group, every minority group, has its own individuals and organizations, its spokespeople, who seek to advance their self-interest. The mm-hmm. only group really in the world that does is our conservative whites. And so I think that board seek to serve as a leader, and I think that our people are clamoring for leadership, and they're not getting it from some of the names you just mentioned.
Absolutely. I think it's about to break. Well, before we talk about your book, let me get your take real quickly on the Mel Gibson scandal, because you actually had a very good article on this that appeared at your website and at the Occidental Observer. So just give us and you also have a kind of connection with the Gibson family and things like that. Just tell us a little bit about this bizarre double standard going on. Which you and, you know, a number of other people and myself included have pointed out, of someone like Roman Polanski, who is a talented director, to be sure. I don't want to denounce him in that way, but how he can basically be a pedophile and yet have his career be uninterrupted for three decades. And then in a rage, in an embarrassing and in some ways shameful rage, but, you know, Mel Gibson can basically use the N-word and his career is finished.
Well, I mean, you know, I saw that, and every now and then my jaw still drops mm-hmm. when I ask the rhetorical question, can they be serious? And so I had to write something. I wrote something of an opus on that because I was so motivated by the chain of events there. And so basically the synopsis of my piece was that, well, you got Mel Gibson, and no one can defend the things that he said in those secretly taped private conversations with his girlfriend. Now, we don't know if those tapes were edited or what the context of some of those comments were, but, you know, No one's for talking to women like that, irregardless of the situation. So we don't defend Mel Gibson for calling the woman all sorts of names, but the repercussions that he's had to endure as a result of that just aren't consistent. So basically, he dropped the dreaded N-word. Mm-hmm. It's okay for other people to say it, but not the conservative Christians like Mel Gibson.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, going to pause it right there. Once more, coming up on a commercial break. When we come back, still much more to come during Richard Spencer's exclusive interview with me for Alternative Right Radio. We're going to get back to it right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're in the midst of listening to what I think was a quite riveting interview. Perhaps not because of my performance, but because Richard is such an adept radio interviewer. It's such a good time appearing on the Alternative Right radio podcast there last week. Again, other people that Richard has interviewed include people who are very good friends of ours, Buchanan, Gottfried, Tom Sunich, Kevin McDonald, Craig Brodeker, Peter Brimelow, who came to our defense, coincidentally, last week, Dr. David Yeagley, many others. It's good to share that kind of company, and we had a little momentary tech mishap here, and our very capable broadcast engineer is working on that, trying to get that audio back up. We were about halfway through the interview that Richard conducted with me. If you want to listen to it, though, in its entirety, go right to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's there on the blog. There on the blog and also at alternativeright.com in their radio podcast section of their website. Did you say, Denny, we have it ready? Oh, not quite ready yet. Talked about a few things pertaining to the media attention that the show has received this summer. We were about to tackle the Mel Gibson controversy. We've talked about it on this show. Richard and I were just about to open that can of worms before the last commercial break, going on to some other matters and then wrapping up with Richard's thoughts of my book. Richard Spencer, by the way, not only has he issued a favorable review of Racism Schmacism, he was actually one of the three people that endorsed the book whose endorsements were put in the book on the back cover. He, Paul Gottfried, and Dr. Virginia Abernathy were three of the reviewers whose endorsements actually appear in Racism or Smacism. If you want to buy the book, of course, proceeds of those sales go to help keeping us on the air. Makes a great gift not only for you, but for your conservative friend or family member who you want to be a part of a coalition that can help build a movement that wins. So many reasons to go and get the book, and we encourage you to do just that at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We would love to get a copy of this in your hands. We're quite proud of it. I know we've been talking about it a lot this summer, and I think if you read some of the reviews that we've gotten, you can understand why we are so proud of it indeed. The latest review, again, coincidentally, appears on alternativeright.com. Another review for Alternative Right, this one written by Alex Kurtigick. It's entitled The Book of James, and it's really one of the finest reviews we have received to date. But Alex Kurtigick, Richard Spencer, along with people like Virginia Abernathy and Peter Brimelow, Peter Gemma, Paul Gottfried, McDonald, Jared Taylor, many others, these are the people that are really favorably pushing my book, and the reception that it's enjoyed, you know, ladies and gentlemen, truly exceeds any expectations I could have had when writing it, to have done well in the eyes of these individuals is indeed a tremendous feat. But another thing that we're proud about this week, again, as we wait for this audio to come back online, is the fact that we were panned. We were panned by the Southern Poverty Law Center, our admirers at the SPLC, making the star power of this radio program and Racism, Schmacism, the book, even more luminescent. It's just been a great summer. A great summer that is winding down, beginning to wind down, with the consensus that the Political Cesspool Radio program has further solidified itself as the premier advocate of pro-white thought in North America. And we try to prove why we have earned that distinction each and every week here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Of course, another great show going to be coming up next week as we head into August. The days turns into weeks, the weeks into months, months into years. But the one thing that holds true and consistent is the fact that we will be here for you. We have been here for you without fail since October of 2004. And we're going to continue to stand rock solid as your voice for the paleoconservative European American point of view. And we've got, of course, a great staff here: Winston Smith, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Bill Rowland, and together, along with your support, we crank out a show that gets quite a bit of attention. I was mentioning V-Dare. You know, we were talking a lot, Peter Brimelow and V-Dare, and he's endorsed the book. We were talking in its entirety, the entire second hour, was focused to what's going on in Arizona with this injunction by Susan Bolton, the judge there. V-Dare, Peter Brimelow's website, has also some high-quality commentary on the Arizona immigration ruling that we encourage you to check out. But and I may be biased in saying this, but I don't think anything can match the article which was penned by Winston Smith. We talked about that, too, during the second hour, and that, of course, available for you on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've been so busy talking about what's going on in Arizona this week, really all summer, but particularly this week with the injunction by Susan Bolton, that we haven't covered too many other subjects over the course of the last 7 days. But there are a few, and with our normal flair of panache and humor, our tongue-in-cheek sarcasm, we have tackled a couple of other stories that you just might be interested in. So get it all there at the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Jared Taylor, another good friend of ours, he appeared on Russian television. And it's a shame that Russian television, this Russian broadcasting company, are more ardent defenders for the freedom of speech of white Americans than any major television network, cable news network here in the United States. And we have that video. It's video, not just audio, but video of Jared Taylor on Russian television, featured prominently at our website tonight. Racism toward whites is the topic in which Jared was on to discuss, and it's something that certainly I believe everyone should see. Another article up on the website tonight, gay civil rights, Trump's religious convictions. A couple of days ago, we wrote about Jennifer Keaton. She's suing Augusta State University in Georgia, where she's pursuing a master's degree in school counseling. According to her lawsuit, she was told that her Christian beliefs about the immorality of homosexuality are incompatible with being a school counselor. So she must drop her moral objections to sodomy or be kicked out of school. Now, it turns out that there was a similar lawsuit against Eastern Michigan University that's been in the court system for a while. Julia Ward, who was enrolled in EMU's grad school for counseling, was expelled from the program when she balked at counseling a homosexual suffering from depression. She didn't want to do it. She asked the school if she could refer the person to another counselor, but she was told no. When she refused to counsel him herself, because she couldn't affirm his homosexuality, she was expelled. So she sued the school on this past Monday, just threw the case out, saying EMU has the right to expel her. For the rest of that story, go to our website. It's one of the many entries we have posted this week. And you can thank Martin Luther King himself and his civil rights, so-called civil rights crusade for decades. These warped people, not only on the left, the Marxist communist left, you would expect to be in the King camp, but even now, you see every conservative, every major conservative that's being trumpeted by Fox News, all of them worship at the altar of King. Most particularly people like Glenn Beck, you know, they celebrate his life and his work and the unconstitutional laws he got passed that abridged the freedom of so-called racists and bigots because you didn't approve of their beliefs and convictions and regarded them as hate. And now that your own convictions, and I'm talking particularly to these, well, for lack of a better word, you know, this is a Christian program, but these politically correct Christians, you know, now their convictions and beliefs have been declared bigotry and hate because they stand against homosexuality, and rightfully so, I might add. Now they are being trampled in the name of civil rights. There's really not a lot they can say in protest because a lot of these same people were all for King and his original quest, which was equally Republican. You reap what you sow. We're going to take a break, see if we can get some of that audio cooking with Richard Spencer when we come back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I was kind of treading water there during that last segment. Had hoped to play the interview that Richard Spencer of Alternative Right Radio conducted with me during this entire hour, segment by segment. Of course, there we lost the ability to play the audio file there during that third segment that we just came out of. So we're not going to be able to listen to the entire interview, regrettably, during this hour, but we are going to try to pick up close to where we left off a few minutes ago and catch a little bit more of that interview. And then, of course, it's readily available to you online, either at thepoliticalcesspool.org or alternativeright.com there. You'll be able to listen to the interview on your own time without interruption. And we encourage you to do it because it was a lot of fun for me to have the tables turned and be answering the questions rather than asking them. And Richard was a great interviewer and a gracious host and lots of good promotion of the Political Cesspool. I got to ask Denny if we got the audio ready. Not quite yet. Again, is available for you at AlternativeRight.com and thepoliticalcesspool.org. We got it in our blog roll. I think it's towards the bottom of the most current page right now. Speaking of the blogs, I'll go through a couple of other entries that we didn't originally plan to cover tonight, but they're on there. And anything that's on there is worthy of discussion on this show. Looks like 9 people got shot at a Chicago bus stop last week. That's actually how Chicago got the nickname the Windy City, if you didn't know. It's not really because it's that windy in Chicago. It just seems that way from the wind whistling through all the bullet holes in people. CNN reports that 9 people were shot at a bus station in the south side of Chicago, home of bad Leroy Brown, on Monday, police said. All but one of them suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The 9th person was seriously hurt. Shooting took place on the 7900 block of Southwestern Avenue. If we've got any listeners up in Chicago, I guess you'll know what that is. Appears to be gang-related. Imagine that. Police were interviewing witnesses and put out a call for any videos that may have captured the shooting. Well, that's just more of the benefits of diversity and multiculturalism that we can enjoy on a daily basis. We also, Bernie Madoff back in the news a little bit. And as a result of his Ponzi scheme and an embezzlement scam, a little good has actually happened. You can say what you want about Bernie Madoff, but you can't say he was all bad. Thanks to him, the American Jewish Congress has gone out of business, and we have linked a story about that there this week at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Tea parties rife with political correctness, another story that we're tracking, and we've been tracking this one for a little over a year now. But this was a story, though, that was a little bit unique and different than many of the stories that we bring to your attention pertaining to the tea parties. There are very few black conservatives. I guess that's not breaking news by any stretch of the imagination, but there are very few black conservatives. But there are a few black conservatives. Don't get me wrong. There are a whole bunch of Uncle Toms like Lloyd Marcus and Michael Steele, and quite a few step and fetch it's like Alfonso Rachel, I should say. But there is one true black conservative, and it's a rare specimen indeed. But there is at least one, and it's Elizabeth Wright. And we encourage you to go to our website and read what she has to say about the tea parties. It pretty much echoes what we've been saying about them time and time again. Got a lunatic endorsement of the day. Left-wing lunatic endorsement of the day comes from the Democratic diva. She compares your hosts here at the Political Cesspool to the ones on NPR. Here's what she had to say. You have, what she says is you have to listen to the broadcast, if you can stomach it, talking about our show, to appreciate how calm and matter-of-fact people can be while expressing shockingly ugly views about their fellow human beings. That's important because the constant presentation of hateful bigotry as the Mel Gibson Scream Fest or J.T. Reddy marching on the border often leads people to think that bigots can't be articulate or reasonable sounding. All contraire, these dudes chatting it up on the political cesspool sound like they could be on national public radio, except for the part where they're nasty, hateful bigots. We appreciate that as much, if not more, as the genuinely objective comments that we receive, the positive and objective comments. The Anti-Defamation League themselves said, when compared to Alex Jones, we sound like George F. Will. So getting backhanded compliments even from our biggest detractors, that's the political cesspool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize for the fact that our audio failed. Really wanted to share with you that interview with Richard Spencer doesn't look like we're going to be able to resuscitate it. It went on life support about halfway through, top of the third segment, and it just crashed, unfortunately. A little embarrassing, and I apologize again for that, but I do encourage you to go to our website and listen to it in its entirety, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Here to bail me out, Keith Alexander. So is Keith not on the line? No, we're going to go to Tim in Arkansas. Tim, are you there? Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, James?
Oh, nothing much.
Hey, listen, I'm impressed. I got a copy of your book. It's coming. I just wanted to sort of ask you what you thought about the amazing wedding between Chelsea Clinton and her beau up there in Rhinebeck, New York, all those elites that rule over us. I thought you'd be, you might have some commentary on that. I didn't really know. But it does seem to be that the powers that be and our politicians are sort of not only joined at the hip, but joined in matrimony, sort of against us. Does that sort of seem the way it is to you?
No, I think you're on the right track. The thing is, and I hope that this doesn't sound crude, but Chelsea Clinton's just so ugly that the fact that anyone would marry her, obviously they don't have very high physical standards that need to be met. But above and beyond that, and I don't know Well, maybe it's just her. Maybe it's just her political beliefs that make her so repulsive to me, and not just her looks, although they're not that great. But above me on that, Tim, I got to be honest. I have not followed. I'm ashamed to say I have not followed much about the Chelsea Clinton wedding. I did see, of course, that she was getting married, and it was a big event apparently. But why don't you provide us a little more commentary about that? What do you think significant about the Chelsea Clinton wedding?
Well, of course, the young gentleman that she's married is Jewish.
I can't believe it.
Well, it does seem to me that there is. And this was also true with Jacqueline Kennedy Schlossberg, Carolyn Kennedy Schlossberg, excuse me. It does seem to me that there is a sort of joining of a familial bond between our rulers and our other rulers, if you will. And it seems to me that this is really not in the best interest of our country. It's just not. I mean, the people at Fox News, you know, leave Fox News and they go right to work for the president.
Yeah.
There really is. They're just too much. They're just too in bed together. And if you're really going to have a system of checks and balances, and if you want to include the media in that, and you want to include, a true system of checks and balances, then these things need to be separate, and one of the ways, just like you say, that you can do that is to reelect new people every time, so that there is constantly someone new, so that these dynasties that present themselves don't occur as easily. Let's put it that way. I don't know that you could ever completely eliminate them. Another thing that it would help would be, bear in mind, I'm in advertising. Would be to eliminate the sale of advertising for political means. In other words, you can't run any kind of political ads on television. You can run them on television for on your public-owned stations. They can state their positions. They can state their purpose. But this idea where people buy just huge, huge blocks of time to do this, would be completely eliminated. It would be almost, in fact, it would be illegal. And the reason is because the people with the money, the people with the power, are always, as they say, the mother's milk of politics. Money is the mother's milk of politics. That is what's corrupting. It's the crack cocaine of politics. Money is. And what happens is that I think that these guys start out, well-meaning. And then wind up.
Tim, you make a lot of excellent points, and I encourage you to call us back next week and make some more. A very astute commentary from another intelligent listener of the Political Cesspool Radio program. But we're flat out of time, everybody. God bless you and keep you and live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. I'll see you next week.